That is Joel Batonio. I feel bad.
Did you read into anything that he said there?
But as far as?
Joel is not somebody who's going to throw anybody under the bus. It kind of sounded there to me like their game plan this week fell way short on what they actually saw on the football field.
Yeah. I mean, look at what happened. They got there were 7 sacks in the game. They didn't game plan that. He had to play left tackle. They certainly didn't game plan that. Like nothing really worked. After the script, nothing works. And yeah, you threw a touchdown pass in the first play, so I don't know what else is going to happen after that.
I'm talking about the way he kind of, I mean, he's Joel Batonio. I don't expect flame throwing or anything like that.
No.
But, you know, blocking what was called, I mean, almost like, yeah, we were doing what we were supposed to do, but what we were supposed to do may not have been what we were really supposed to do.
Watson even went into that. Let's play this Watson here. He mentioned how the game plan was not what the game planned for.
I mean, they switched up the game plan. I think, you know, you got to give their DC Shane a lot of credit of doing something different that we, you know, of course we were expecting, you know, pressure. But, you know, as much as they brought it, you know, you just got to prepare for the worst. And they did a good job of trying to create mismatch and different confusion up front to, you know, get us off our timing in the passing game. So, you know, for us to try to correct that, you know, we got to win our matchups and try to figure out the right protection to figure out what pressures they were doing off the edge to create.
He's right there. They don't blitz often. Certainly not that often.
Well, they blitzed 51% of the time yesterday.
Yeah, they did not to that level. They don't have a lot of blitzes, usually because they have to play. Okay. But any defensive coordinator smells blood in the water that. They're going to send people.
So here's my question, though. All right, I get that one team shows something the first few weeks, or defensive coordinator, or if it's a situation where it's a holdover, the staff's been there before. You have tape, and then you have an expectation of what that team's going to do. But we have talked a lot in recent years about how the whole theory of a halftime adjustment is kind of silly now. With all the technology afforded to them, with the tablets, like with the communication situation, even in college now, they have better communications. Halftime adjustment is kind of something of the past. It's something that you're making adjustments possession to possession now.
Yeah.
Because especially a team like this, with the amount of veterans that the Browns have on this team, I mean, the adjustments should be made series to series.
Yes.
Just because that wasn't the game plan, that doesn't mean that you should be doomed and you should lose the game and have no shot.
The quote-unquote halftime adjustment is the most overrated nomenclature that we find. Anybody who's ever been around it will tell you that. You have to make adjustments during the game. You have you have umpteen coaches that are sitting with these position groups during every change of possession. They are going to sit there and make adjustments. You can't just, it's the second quarter. We got to wait till halftime to make this adjustment. Like,
so,
no.
So it shouldn't be as simple. Like, when we play the Raiders next
week, you're adjusting throughout.
It shouldn't be that the Raiders showed something for 3 weeks and now, they surprised us. They went with something else that we didn't prepare for. Guys, you're making a lot of money as a coaching staff. You should be able to pick these things up.
Yeah.
And you have the wherewithal to be able to adjust. I don't want to hear that a team, they did something that they hadn't shown on tape, and so therefore we threw up the white flag and that was it. Like, come on. Come on.
I totally agree with you.
Way too much money is being spent on this roster, this coaching staff, this organization. You have the technology. It's 2024. Come on. It shouldn't be that easy.
Let's go to the phones. Josh and Berea, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Josh.
What's up, guys? Man, I don't even know. I'm with you guys. I don't know where to start. I mean, it's a top-down failure everywhere. I mean, you can put it on the quarterback. You can put it on the head coach. You can put it on the game plan. You can put it on the offensive line. But at the end of the day, this just looks like a team that reminds me of the 2022 Browns, of the 2021 Browns. Just lifeless. Nothing there. And I hate to go back to what I said in 2022 when Lima was like, don't get all philosophical on me, Josh. But I did. I said, I think we have good seeds, but the soil's bad. And the soil is the Haslams. I'm sick of these guys. I hate the way they look. I hate the way they talk. Okay. I hate the way they just, let's talk about a stadium in the offseason and not address the roster issues. Let's try.
Well, I don't think that they will. I don't think it was an either or, Josh, of talking about a stadium or addressing the roster.
But either way, you have bigger problems. You have bigger problems than just that. I don't care. Like, that's what we talked mainly about in the offseason. That was mainly what we talked about. Oh, dome or no dome? Stay in Cleveland or no? I don't care. We deserve a dome right now, or we're going to lose in that dome. But, hey, at least we'll get Taylor Swift. I don't care. At the end of the day, like you guys said, we have way too much money in this roster to be going out there and not even score 20 points yet in the season. We haven't even scored 20 points yet, guys.
Oh, my God, we haven't.
What is this?
I didn't realize we hadn't. Josh, thank you very much for the call. I did not realize we had not scored 20 points yet.
We're thinking about big events at the new dome. I mean, Dancing with the Browns could be something that could sell out that place.
Jim and Perry, keep it clean.
Good morning, Ken.
Hi.
Okay. Couple points. One, I told you this team is going nowhere.
Well, congratulations. You're the guy. You really put them out there, didn't you?
Hey, it's all right. You know why, though? Because I don't put the blinders on like I used to. All right? The Browns have always tried to seem like they're ahead of the curve. They're not. Why are we running a college offense? It doesn't work. Everybody's now – like, the league this year has the least amount of passing yards – thus far in the
we've tried it for 3 years. Take a look at the quarterback. Who the hell knows?
Well, okay. My point. So the blitzing yesterday, that was kind of awesome to see just because it's like, holy crap, what's going on? You would think they would have some kind of plays that would maybe, you know, a nice little 2-3-step drop, a quick out, quick slant, anything. Deshaun Watson cannot perform unless he has 7 seconds. Ken, you could probably get a pass off if you had 10 seconds back in the backfield. This offense is trash.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's a reason why Dorsey got let go by Buffalo. You know who I feel bad for the most out of all of this is Kevin Stefanski, because I think Kevin Stefanski has been a guy that has just been like, oh yeah, we'll do it this way. Oh, I feel like he just doesn't speak up.
I think what they wanted to do, Jim, and thank you very much for the call. What they really wanted to do is they wanted to take Ken Dorsey, who has experience with big body mobile quarterbacks, Cam Newton, Josh Allen, and they wanted to mold his philosophies in with what Kevin does. But you could see it night and day. Last week, what were we in? We had a lot of 12 personnel, a lot of Nick Harris lined up as a way. Now, you really couldn't do heavy halfway through the game because you didn't have the guys in the backfield to do that. But you had a lot of heavy sets, and it was a very Kevin Stefanski offense, and they protected him. But they're not going to be comfortable in that very long. They want to turn him loose. What's there to turn loose? I want to turn loose an effective offense. That's what I want to do. I want to be able to run the football. I want to be able to control and manage the game. That's what I want to do. What's there to turn loose?
Well, here is the byproduct, I think, of what we've seen the first three games. I think Deshaun Watson is going to start taking off and running. I think he is going to abandon that pocket quicker than ever. And there's going to be some good there. You did see some good things, some good scrambles yesterday where it did look again like he had that athleticism. Even if he's a hair, you know, a touch slower than he used to be when he was a total freak and he was doing Michael Vick stuff. I think that is what is going to be a byproduct of this. You're going to see a guy that's not already lacking the confidence in that pocket. He's going to take off and run so much more, which means he is going to have to protect himself.
But if you want anything to develop, you're going to have to go back. When he says back to basics, if you want to get this thing going in any sort of direction, I don't think it's like a right direction or to the playoffs or anything, because I told you where I stand on all that stuff right now. This is who they are. They're a middling to lower team right now, and I don't think that that's going to change. But if you want to have a chance to change that, you're going to have to convince him that he needs to be protected. And if it's under center and doing dropbacks, if it's under center and doing rollouts and using his athleticism there, I don't know what it is. All I know is that they did their very best to protect him, and he was an effective quarterback against Jacksonville. He was. And there were times even yesterday where, man, it seemed like they were trying to protect him, and he was a little bit more effective. But by the time that there was any chance for anything to get rolling, he was getting blitzed like crazy. Offensive linemen were getting hurt. And then you go back to the third quarter. They get the ball at the Giants 45. First and 10. This is at the Giants 30. Overthrow to Elijah Moore. Open. Overthrow. Threw it over his head.
Oh, that would have been a huge, huge touchdown.
Second and 10. Under pressure on a cross. Like a little drag to Amari Cooper. Threw it too high. Another miss. Then was sacked. End of series. Oh, wait. Dustin Hopkins missed a 56-yard field goal. End of series. Golden opportunity right there. And so even when he's trying to help himself, he can't help himself. And I wrote down by that time, I'm going, he's seeing ghosts again. He's under so much pressure, which, by the way, I would. I think a lot of quarterbacks would. Any guy who's not named Mahomes probably would. So it makes him human. I can understand. This isn't even knocking him. I understand the logic of this. People get too sensitive and they say, well, you're not. No. There's logic to this. He's been getting hammered all game. Third quarter comes around. He gets sacked. I mean, the first possession, they get it at their 30 after the touchback on the kickoff. Second and 10, he tried to take off. He was sacked. Lost 2 yards. Incomplete, trying to go to Jerry Jeudy on third and 12. Punt. So now he's trying to make anything happen. He's desperate. They got great field position. Tremendous field position. He was flushed on play action. They booed like crazy. He took off. He's just playing instinctual backyard football at that point because he doesn't trust the offensive line. At that point, there's no way he can trust any of the plays. There's no way. It's not even a knock on him. Guys, understand this. It's the logic of the mess of what this became in that sequence right there. And I still think that if you can harness anything, he could be an above-average quarterback because it was still a 7-point game, or 6-point game, I should say, at one point.
Despite how badly we were getting outplayed.
And if you're an above average quarterback, that means if you play above average and you can protect him, you can beat a team like the Giants. You can beat a team like the Raiders. You can beat a team like Washington. You're probably not going to beat Philadelphia. Or I don't know what the Bengals are yet, so I'm not going to speak on that. I don't know really what the Ravens are yet. You're probably not going to beat some of these teams that are better than that. Hopefully you'll split against Pittsburgh. I haven't really got a chance to watch much Pittsburgh, and I'm really dying to go watch a 3-0 team. But that's what it is. So he can be an above-average quarterback still. That can be salvaged. That yesterday, that's going to have a very ugly conversation. And if you do have that conversation and you do make a change, that's it. We wash our hands of all of it. And we wash our hands of competing for the next couple of years. Because you're going to make other serious changes. You don't disagree with any of this, by the way.
No.
Okay. Want to make sure. Rob and Madonna, you got 90 seconds. Go.
What's up, guys? So I've been calling for probably 3 years saying the same exact thing. Stefanski cannot be the offensive coordinator and the head coach. It's too much on his plate. You know, when our defense really excels and he has time to sit back maybe and think about game time changes, maybe it's a little different. Our team is in shambles because we don't have a head coach. We have an offensive coordinator making the calls, and it's just too much for him.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this. Would you want Ken Dorsey to call the plays right now?
I would. I would. And again, I think if Stefanski was just the play caller, I think he'd be fine. But it's just too much on his plate.
Wait a second. What did we have last year?
We had a great defense. and the great defense gave him a little time to sit back. But right now our defense is not great, so he has to be the head coach overlooking the defense, overlooking the special teams. He doesn't have time to make the in-game adjustments because it's just too much, and it's nothing against him.
Well,
that's a hard thing to do. It's like, how come you guys answer the calls?
I remember.
How come you don't answer the calls when they come in? Because it's just you need that screener. You know, like if you're like all of a sudden, hey, you know, you got to do the screening too. You're like, man, that's a lot on my plate.
Rob, I got to I got to let you go because we got to go. But, you know, I brought that up a couple years ago. I can't sit there and say that Rob's crazy. And I know what you said the last season. Well, what happened between the season before and last season? They got rid of Joe Woods. They brought in Jim Schwartz. He trusts Jim Schwartz. He trusted him. So he didn't have to worry about the defense or the special teams. He could concentrate on offense. Now I got to worry about what's going on. And my defense is not playing. You're giving up 93-yard drives to Daniel Jones. We can't make adjustments all of a sudden.